Because that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Wednesday, May 10th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, Hamidou Diallo, he's gone. Rick Pitino still has it on the court. The Reds beat the Yankees in a rematch of the 1976 World Series. We know the real reason that Matt Harvey went into a drunken stupor. The NBA playoffs finally get somewhat interesting. Pac-Man Jones tries to convince people that he drives a Rolls Royce. And we pick a Major League Baseball underdog for Wednesday night. So let's go.
You are listening live.
The NBA Draft Combine. Oh, what a feeling. It starts today in Chicago. One player who will be there, Hamidou Diallo. And now the word is that he's not even going to play in the organized pickup games there. And more buzz is coming out about the fact that Hamidou Diallo is going to go in the late first round of the NBA draft. So you know what that means? He's leaving Kentucky and he's going to the NBA. Because anyone who's going to go in the first round of the NBA draft, whether it be number one or number 30, if you know you're going in the first round, there's no reason to come back to school, no matter who you are and what your situation may be. In fact, the only UK player that will be playing at the draft combine is Isaiah Briscoe, a player who obviously needs to up his draft stock and prove that he can do things that he didn't show that he could do while playing at Kentucky. But Hamidou Diallo not playing is an intelligent thing for him to do. Why? We're always attracted to the unknown. Why is it these four-year college basketball players, we already know the bad stuff on them. We know what they can do. We know what they cannot do. But a lot of times, these NBA teams will draft these unknown European players instead of the players they know everything about. Why? Fascination with the unknown. In life, when you're in your dating world, what are you more fascinated with? The person who you know everything about, or that unknown quantity of mystery? 9 times out of 10, the best choice for you is the person you know everything about. But there's always something in your mind telling you, but what about this other person? What about the unknown? What about this aura of mystery? That's who we are as human beings. The unknown is always going to be more attractive than the known. So for Diallo not to play in the draft combine, absolutely brilliant. It's the only choice that he really could make. But why do you think all these NBA teams take these European unknown players? Yes, it does come through sometimes, the Dirk Nowitzkis of the world. But a lot of times, it doesn't pay off. Darko Milicic, the best example of all time. In the famed LeBron James draft, the first 5 players taken. LeBron, Darko, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh. One of these things is not like the other. We knew the other 4 players. We knew a lot about what they had. We didn't know a whole lot about Darko. But he went number 2 anyway. And if it wasn't for Cleveland having to draft their hometown hero, Darko could have been the number 1 pick in that draft. Fascination with the unknown. That's why these players do not play at the combine, especially when they're protecting their first round draft position. And if Hamidou Diallo is not playing, he thinks he's going in the first round, which means he's gone from Kentucky. Why do you think Kevin Knox committed over the weekend? The writing's on the wall. Just put 2 and 2 together.
I've always believed brains will defeat brawn any day. I give you the genius.
Other college basketball news, if you want to call this college basketball news, Rick Pitino, who's 64 years old, was seen playing in a Miami Masters League over the weekend, and apparently he still got some game. He went 3 for 3 from three-point land in limited action and was told to have been playing solid defense. I'll say this, when I'm 64, I hope I can still get up and down the floor and jack up three-pointers. Something tells me I won't. I'm a long way from 64, and I'm already to the point where I can't get up and down the floor full-time. So give Rick Pitino credit for staying in shape, but something tells me Rick Pitino's shot clock never lasts longer than 15 seconds, if you know what I mean. Google it, kids.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
The Reds last night defeated the Yankees in a rematch of the 1976 World Series. 5-3 win for the Reds. Tim Adelman, who we had doubts about yesterday, and well, if you look at the numbers, we had good reason. 5 innings, 3 runs. But the story, as usual for the Reds in this early season, the Reds' bullpen and how Brian Price has been using that bullpen. Heaven forbid your quote-unquote closer is used more than one inning and brought in a pressure situation. Michael Lorenzen pitched the 6th and 7th, no runs. Raisel Iglesias, your closer, pitched the 8th and 9th, no runs. Iglesias' ERA now, 0.98. Very impressive, but he's yet to prove that he can pitch back-to-back days. Wake me when that happens. But the real story of this game and the month of May for the Reds, let's just face it, is Billy Hamilton. 2-for-5 again last night. His batting average up to .252 on the season and his on-base percentage at .306 now. And we were killing this guy in April because in April he hit .213 with an on-base percentage of .265. That doesn't get it done. He had 10 stolen bases in April and the Reds were 11-13. Flash forward to May. Only 9 games so far in May, but Billy Hamilton's hitting .341 with an on-base percentage of .400. Billy Hamilton, 9 steals in 9 games, and in those 9 games, the Reds are 7-2. Let's see. Billy Hamilton plays well, the Reds win. Billy Hamilton can't get on base, the Reds don't win. What a concept! On-base percentage actually means something in this game. I can't believe it. Billy Hamilton, 10 games in a row now with a run scored. The Reds are 8-2 in those games. His previous best was 4 games in a row with a run scored. We thought Billy Hamilton would have a breakout season this year. After the month of April, we thought we were wrong. Maybe we were right in the first place. Because if you look at his second half stats last year, you can tell he was starting to walk. He was starting to get on base more. Yeah, he was hitting for a better average, but he was starting to walk. And that was the big thing for him, getting on base. Because as the old adage goes, you can't steal first base. In the Reds' 18 wins this year, Hamilton is hitting .338. With a .384 on-base percentage. In the Reds' 12 losses, he's hitting .127 with a .197 on-base percentage. You don't think Hamilton is the key to this team? As much as we love Joey Votto, Joey Votto hits .296 in the Reds' wins this year, and he hits .283 in the Reds' losses. Not nearly as big a difference as Billy Hamilton. Hamilton now on pace for 113 runs and 93 steals to go with 20 triples. He's also on pace for 54 walks. If he can get that number up, you're talking about the best leadoff hitter in the league. But that's the thing. Can't he keep up this pace, and can't he go through stretches without having horrible slumps like he did the entire month of April, when let's just face it, he wasn't a very good leadoff hitter. So we all think the key to this team is Joey Votto. No, it's not. Joey Votto's the same player no matter what. Heck, even Marty Brenneman told us, you can lose 94 games with or without Joey Votto. You can't say the same about Billy Hamilton. When this kid is on, this team is a formidable team offensively. When he's not on, good luck. Speaking of Joey Votto, 1-for-2 last night. His average now up to .289 on the season, and that's good news. Why? In Votto's career, the first half of the season, he usually hits at a .302 batting average with a .413 on-base percentage. But in the second half of the season in his career, he hit at a .327 batting average and a .440 on-base percentage. And even last year, his miraculous second half, in the first half of the season, he hit .252. And believe me, a lot of that .252 came in the month of June because the first 2 months were terrible. And in the second half last year, in what people are completely overlooking, he hit .408 in the entire second half of last season. Absolutely incredible, but nobody around here cares because A, the Reds are a losing team, and B, people hate the way Joey Votto walks too much, according to Marty Brenneman, of course. But Votto was quoted after the game last night saying that this is the best he's felt in his entire career. If that's the case, a .408 batting average in the second half might be matched again this year, and that's saying something. The Reds off today, Wednesday, but are heading out to San Francisco for a 4-game series starting Thursday night. For you late night owls out there, at least you'll get a few of those 10 o'clock starts that you could watch up in the early hours of the morning. The Reds coming off a sweep of the Giants last weekend. Something tells us it may not be the same this weekend, even though the Giants are now without their closer, Mark Melancon. Talk about a train wreck. Who saw this coming for the Giants?
If I could trade him, I would trade him yesterday. Hell, I can lose 94 games without you just as easily as I can lose 94 games with you. I don't care about the OPS. I don't care about none of that. This club made a bad deal when they signed Joey Votto to a 10-year contract, and he's going to make $22 million this year, and either next year or the following year is going to make $25 million. There is no sanity on God's earth that justifies this being a good contract.
Okay, well, Bryce Harper's probably going to make $30 million.
I don't give a damn about Bryce Harper. You're talking about Washington, D.C. Why don't you bring up Mike Trout in Los Angeles?
Well, okay,
we're done with this, Scott. We can argue all night long, and you're dead wrong, and you're never going to convince me that this contract is a good contract.
Other baseball news. Matt Harvey apologizes yesterday, admits he stayed out past curfew last Friday night, and says it won't happen again, and that baseball is his number one priority. Well, let's just figure out why he was out till 4 o'clock drinking last Friday night. It seems that he has been dating someone named Adriana Lima, and I don't claim to be some kind of expert on supermodels these days, but apparently she dumped Matt Harvey for New England Patriots wide receiver Edelman, and that's who she was dating before she got with Matt Harvey. And of course, I have the old adage, if a girl will cheat on somebody else to be with you, she'll cheat on you to be with someone else. That's just how it is, no matter who you are. So Matt Harvey just got dumped by his supermodel girlfriend, and now he goes into a drinking binge. Wow, how old is this kid, 19? And it got so bad for Matt Harvey that Adriana Lima unfriended him on social media. Oh no, how terrible. So Matt Harvey shows his true colors, shows that he's much more interested in dating supermodels than he is getting outs for the New York Mets. Because let me just promise you this. Do you think if Matt Harvey went out and gave up 10 runs in 2 innings for the Mets, do you think he'd be out drinking all night? Probably not. But if his girlfriend dumps him, now we gotta go out drinking all night. Priorities in life. But if I'm any team, not in New York City, right now I'm trying to lowball the Mets for Matt Harvey because the Mets do not want Matt Harvey on their team anymore. That's very obvious. Strike while the iron is hot. Give them a bunch of bum minor leaguers, and I'll guarantee you the Mets will trade you Matt Harvey right now. And yes, you may not have anything this year, but you're at least taking a chance on a guy who's proven that he's a very good pitcher. We talked yesterday, 4 years ago, this is probably the best young pitcher in Major League Baseball. He started the All-Star game for the National League in 2013, and look at him now. New York City has eaten him up and spit him out. So if I'm any other team, I'm offering a trade right now for Matt Harvey. Whether he's done or not is not the point. The point is, you can get him at a very easy price, and you're trying to hit the lottery. Because eventually, he's going to get over this Adriana Lima chick. And something tells me his performance might improve when he does.
Shit, I've been cut already?
The Washington Nationals are on the easy road to the National League Eastern Division Championship. There is nobody in their way. The Mets are the second best team in that division, and that should tell you the status of the National League East. Because there's no way the Phillies and Braves are going to finish 500, and the Marlins are the Marlins. But the one thing that's going to kill the Nationals come playoff time, those gas cans that sit down there in the Nats bullpen. Max Scherzer last night against the Orioles, 7 innings of one-run baseball. He enters the 8th inning up 4-1. Easy win for Max Scherzer, right? Well, he's got to go into the 8th inning. He's already thrown over 100 pitches. He gives up a run in the 8th. It's now 4-2. Here comes the toothpick himself, Dusty Baker, to the mound. And you can search for this video. You can see what Dusty Baker says to Max Scherzer. And Scherzer is very emphatic in saying, I got him. And him being Manny Machado, the Orioles' best hitter coming up. Scherzer does get Manny Machado out. And it's 4-2 at the end of the 8th inning. But Scherzer's thrown well over 100 pitches. So they bring in somebody named Inny Romero, who's got a 5.28 ERA to close things out. What does Inny Romero do? Pitches more like Cesar Romero, gives up 2 runs, the game goes extra innings, and the Orioles win the game. The Nationals' designated closers this year have been people named Blake Treinen, Matt Albers, Sean Kelly, and last night, any Romero. What do those four people have in common? I have no idea, other than that's four people who have never been in my kitchen. So you've got a lousy bullpen to begin with, and then you've got a guy like the toothpick Dusty Baker calling the shots for that lousy bullpen. That can only mean disaster for the Nationals come playoff time. And it's not like the Nats could go out and trade for a closer. Just in the last 24 hours, three closers have lost their jobs. Francisco Rodriguez is terrible for the Tigers. Mark Melancon, injured for the Giants. Zach Britton, who was unhittable last year, is now going to miss at least 2 months for the Orioles. These quote-unquote experienced closers aren't all they're cracked up to be this year. So what do the Nationals do? They've got to find somebody, because once they get to the playoffs, Max Scherzer can't throw every inning of every game. The Atlanta Braves of the 1990s were an absolutely great team. They had three Hall of Fame starting pitchers in their rotation for over a decade. But what happened to them? They only won one World Series. Why? They never had a good bullpen. Ever. And that's what kept them from winning. And only a gift World Series from the Cleveland Indians in 1995, A, in a strike-shortened year, and B, when Mike Hargrove, who's possibly the worst manager ever to make a World Series, put it on a silver platter for the Braves, or else they would have never won. Major League Baseball is figuring out, it's one thing to have great starting pitching. That'll help you win in the regular season. But you can't win in the playoffs without a bullpen. And the Nationals are going to learn that the hard way if they go into the postseason with this cast of clowns. You can have all the Max Scherzers you want. You can have a rotation full of Max Scherzers. But if you don't have a closed-down guy in the eighth and ninth, it ain't going to happen. Just look at the 90s Braves.
Francisco Cabrera comes to the plate to bat for the pitcher. He hacked at the 2-0, now the 2-1. Line drive and a base hit! Just as the score of the tying run, Green to the plate! And he is safe! Safe at the plate! The Braves go to the World Series!
The Brewers' Eric Thames, who had been in a mini slump, heaven forbid he went 9 games without a home run, people were panicking, hit another home run last night, number 13. Tying himself for the major league lead, again. Wonder if he had to take another urine test after that game. The guy he's tied with, Aaron Judge, he hasn't had to take a drug test this year. How come Eric Thames had to take two in the month of April? I wonder.
Words of wisdom. Drop that zero and get with the hero.
Interesting doubleheader on Tuesday afternoon in Colorado, Coors Field. Cubs and the Rockies. The old day-night doubleheader. Apparently, when the Cubs go to Colorado for road games, the Rockies, who play at a place called Coors Field, yes, named after the beer, Coors Beer, they also introduce old-style beer onto the menu. Because apparently, that's what the Cubs fans want to drink at the game. Old-style beer. Now, I can't sit here and tell you that I've ever had an old-style beer. But apparently, that's what the Cubs fans want. And let's just face it, a majority of the time when the Cubs go on the road, there's more Cubs fans at those games than there are for the home team. I had season tickets for the Braves for a long time. Anytime the Cubs came to town, there was always more Cubs fans at those games. Then again, it's Atlanta. That's a whole different animal altogether. And yes, we all appreciate the fact that the Cubs finally won last year after 108 games. And now everybody's a Cubs fan. Heck, I remember being a kid. I watched the Cubs on WGN every afternoon that I was home when I was a kid because it was the only game on TV. Cubs on WGN and the Braves on the Superstation, WTBS. The problem with the Braves was they were terrible, even worse than the Cubs. At least the Cubs of the 80s had some flashes of brilliance from time to time, including the 1984 Cubs who got ripped off of the playoffs. I digress. But that's how the Cubs got a lot of fans, through WGN. That's how the Braves got a lot of fans. Through TBS. In the 80s, when I was a kid, I got to watch many more Braves and Cubs games than I did Reds going up about an hour from Riverfront Stadium. That's just how it was back then. But for Coors Field to placate Cubs fans by selling old-style beer, you're basically admitting to yourselves, we're going to make more money off Cubs fans than we are Rockies fans this week. And you know what? They're right. Do what you got to do, Rockies. Who's going to show up for a Tuesday afternoon game in the middle of May to see the Cubs anyway? Just a bunch of Cubs fans who grew up watching WGN who want to drink old-style beer. There you go.
This is the kind of thing, quite honestly, right now, that makes you want to see the Chicago Cubs team lose. But far and away, the most obnoxious fans in baseball in this league are those who follow this team right here. It's unbelievable. Now, you know, I said all winter, they talk about this team winning the division, and my comment is they won't win it because at the end of the day, they still are the Chicago Cubs. And they will figure out a way to screw this whole thing up.
In that Cubs-Rockies series yesterday, Jake Arrieta got bombed. And when I say bombed, I'm talking about 5 earned runs in 3 2/3 innings, 9 runs total. Very interesting example here, Jake Arrieta. 2015 Cy Young Award winner. Second half of the year, the best second half by any pitcher in the history of Major League Baseball. For the entire year, 22-6, 1.77 ERA, 236 strikeouts, and of course the Cy Young winner. And then last year, 2016, he started out on fire again. In fact, he had a no-hitter against the Reds in April. But then people were looking at his numbers and saying, what happened to this guy? How did he turn it on? He played for the Orioles for 4 years, and his career ERA with the Orioles was 5.46. That's why they traded him to the Cubs for a bucket of baseballs. So now people are assuming exactly what they assume of Eric Thames. He must be on steroids. He must be taking something. He must be cheating. So in the first half of last year, Arrieta's ERA 2.68. Then the steroid accusations. Then the accusations of PEDs. He's on something. He's doing something. Second half of last year, 3.69 ERA. Then he's getting passed over in the playoffs. Kyle Hendricks is starting ahead of him. John Lackey is starting ahead of him. He's fourth on the starting pitcher depth chart. This is a guy who was unhittable first half of the season and was the previous season's Cy Young winner. Now, he's just a fourth starter who might pitch one game in a playoff series. This is just last year. Now to start this year, yeah, he's 4-2, but he's got a 5.35 ERA. And oh, by the way, he's 31 years old, and his contract expires after the season ends, and he wants big money. Steroids or no steroids, this is a proven pitcher. And like we said, his second half of 2015, the best in the history of the game. Do you lose it this quickly? Sometimes as a pitcher you do, especially if you're injured. And if you look at his average fastball speed the last 3 years, you can tell he doesn't have what he did 2 years ago. Is that because of drug testing? Is that because of age? Who knows? But I'll say this, if I'm playing fantasy baseball, and believe me I do, I'm trying to get this guy on the cheap right now. Something tells me the second half of his season won't rival 2015, but it'll be much better than the first half of 2017. The NBA! Finally, a competitive game that was somewhat interesting last night. The Spurs beat Houston Game 5 of the Western Conference Semis, thanks to Manu Ginobili, who's 106 years old, with a great defensive play late in the game. And if you watch him play, he looks 106 years old. So the Spurs up 3-2. Kawhi Leonard may or may not play in the next game. Knowing Popovich and his history, he'll probably rest him for Game 7. But how can you at this point? Game 6 in Houston on Thursday night. And speaking of Houston, who is being brilliantly coached by Mike D'Antoni, who was a bum with the Lakers, a bum in New York City, he finally admits why he quit the Knicks a few years back. Just out of the blue, he said, I can't do this anymore, I quit. He quit, and he admits because of Carmelo Anthony. Has anyone ever had any success with Carmelo Anthony? Everybody always talks about, oh, he made the Western Conference Finals with the Nuggets 1 year, and that's almost 10 years ago now. Everybody talks about that like that was some groundbreaking event. The only coach that ever really truly succeeded with Carmelo Anthony was Jim Boeheim in 1 year at Syracuse. Other than that, you talk about a coach killer. And heck, now he's a general manager killer in Phil Jackson. Everything and everyone that Carmelo Anthony has touched professionally has turned to dirt. Just look at the numbers.
I can remember when I was playing with the Orlando Magic and the Bulls and Michael Jordan, they swept us. He grabbed me and he told me a quote that I would never forget. Before you succeed, you must first learn to fail. You know, when Michael Jordan told me that quote, before you succeed, you must first learn to fail.
He didn't tell you he wanted to be in Kazam too?
Game 5 tonight, Boston and Washington. Series tied 2-2. Boston 4.5-point favorite. Tough to go against Washington tonight, although they're coming off 2 straight wins at home. This will be a do-not-touch game for us. Zigzag theory not applying to this one. Now, we know you college basketball fans here in Lexington and the surrounding area, we know you love the NBA Combine. And apparently one of the perks, apparently they get the old gift bag at the NBA Combine. And one of the things you get in the gift bag, if you're a player, you get free pajamas. Makes you wonder how Hamidou Diallo's not playing in the first place. Hey, if you play in our pickup games, we'll give you free pajamas, bro. How can you pass that up? Man, college football gift bags for bowl games do better than free pajamas. Good God, how about a PlayStation or something? Wait a minute. All these guys who are going to the NBA Draft Combine, they've already gotten paid a lot of money anyway. What do they need with another PlayStation? Go ahead, give them pajamas. NFL! Adam Pac-Man Jones was arrested here in the offseason, and the 911 call was finally released, in which he has a difficult time convincing the 911 operator that he drives a Rolls Royce, to the point where he has to tell the operator, it's a bleeping Rolls Royce. And of course, he didn't say bleeping. How much you want to bet that 911 operator was white, hearing the voice of what she knew was a black man, wondering how in the world he could be driving a Rolls Royce? Uh-huh. That's not racial profiling at all, is it? Hammer time. NFL game-by-game lines have been released this year. The New England Patriots are literally favored in every game this year. Isn't that just wonderful? And on the other side, the Cleveland Browns are favored in absolutely no games this year. This coming off a year in which the Cleveland Browns only covered the point spread 3 times last year. Call me crazy. I'd bet on the Browns every single game this year, and I'd bet against the Patriots every single game this year. I might just pull out a little bit more than 52.38%. If you know what I mean.
You know, upsets do happen, really.
Yeah, like I was going to ask you about Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford.
Let's stick to football, Brent. Come on, let's go.
One team I'm not going to bet on at all for the foreseeable future, the New York Jets. Why? They're quarterbacks. They have 3 quarterbacks right now, and they're named Josh McCown, Bryce Petty, and Christian Hackenberg, with the emphasis on hack, indeed, when referring to these quarterbacks. And Michael Vick, former New York Jets quarterback, recently retired, and former dogfighting czar, had 3 words to say about the New York Jets quarterbacking situation. Man, good luck. Whether you like Michael Vick or not, he's 100% right on this one.
Newcastle United, their fans are raving lunatics.
Raving lunatics? Philadelphia Eagles.
West Bromwich Albion, resilient, purpose. Swansea, symbol is like a black swan.
Natalie Portman.
Southampton, nobody hates them, nobody really minds if they win.
Kevin James.
Aston Villa, a once proud institution that has fallen on hard times.
Playboy Mansion.
Arsenal, high profile team, they've won a couple titles last decade or so.
New York Giants.
And they're our rival.
So that makes us the Jets?
I'm coaching the damn Jets!
Big news for the Colts. They have now hired a former Special Forces leader to run the character data analysis for their team. Character data analysis. Is that what you need in the NFL these days? Is this for public relations? Is it for just having a locker room that gets along? Or do you really think that having nice people means having better football players? This is obviously to placate fan bases and to placate the media, because as I've always said, if I'm putting together a football team, I need 2 or 3 guys who can throw the ball. I need 4 or 5 guys who can catch it and run with it. And then I need about 40 murderers. That's how you put together a good football team. Character data analysis. It's football. I don't need choir boys playing linebacker. I need natural born killers playing linebacker. That's how you win football games. What would your character data analysis have said of Lawrence Taylor back in the day? Exactly. More great news from the Colts. The Colts, in an effort to placate the fan base and kiss butt and get the media to love on them some more, are going to retire Peyton Manning's number 18 jersey this season. Oh boy, I can't wait for the butt kissing here. Peyton Manning, the best quarterback in the history of the regular season of the NFL. Playoffs are a much different story, as we all know. So get ready for the Peyton Manning speeches and the plugs on the businesses that he runs. He plugged Papa John's and his beer distributors right after the Super Bowl ended 2 years ago. So all you Peyton Manning fans out there, and for some reason here in the Big Blue Nation, there's a ton of Peyton Manning fans because he's a white quarterback and he's good and wholesome and comes from a great family. Man, you are the exact people that he had fooled from day one, because this guy's got as much slime on him as anybody that's ever played in the NFL. It's just he's much better at hiding it from you people and playing the media game. Because if you think about it, Big Blue Nation should hate Peyton Manning because he beat Kentucky four times when he was at Tennessee. But you don't remember that, do you? Peyton Manning, good, wholesome, clean-cut American white boy. Good God.
I want winners.
Green is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
And now with his picks for today's game is the man who's right 52% of the time. Smooth, Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver! Yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, back daddy stogie time. Took one on the chin last night. Blue Jays lost to Cleveland. Carlos Carrasco dominant against the light-hitting Blue Jays. But we live to fight another day. We've still made you well over 600% on a return on investment in baseball so far this year. So we're going to go out to Chavez Ravine, Pittsburgh. The Pirates against the Dodgers. Pittsburgh 14-19 on the year. Dodgers 19-14. The third of a three-game series. The Dodgers have won the first two games. Kenta Maeda for the Dodgers, 5.81 ERA. Big disappointment. Chad Kuhl for the Pirates, 5.54 ERA. So tonight's going to be a battle of the bullpens, that's for sure. Kenley Jansen has pitched the last two nights. Actually got the victory last night. Don't look for him to be pitching today. Tony Watson hasn't pitched either of these two games of the series. He has seven saves and a 1.32 ERA. Very impressive on the season, and he's well rested. Cool last year against the Dodgers. He was actually 2-0 with a 4.09 ERA against the Dodgers. So he has faced the Dodgers in the past and succeeded against them. In fact, the Pirates in their last 17 against the Dodgers are 12-5. And that includes losing the first two games of this series. So the Pirates have proven in recent years they can take down the Dodgers. And they're going to do so again tonight. Dodgers are minus 200, a big home favorite. Getting a lot of value on the Pirates. You're getting a plus 185. Probably will get closer to plus 200 by game time. Give us the Pirates getting a huge number in LA. Pirates over Dodgers tonight. And hopefully you can light up that Mac Daddy Stogie as lefty closer Tony Watson trots in for the Pirates bullpen to close it out of the night. And you can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
The key to understanding the game is sabermetrics.
Huh?
The field was developed by statistician Bill James.
I made baseball as much fun as doing your taxes.
And that does it for the Wednesday, May 10th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at BottomLineLex. Email anytime, BottomLineLex@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.